Chapter 7, Taming the Tongue. A Tongue That Glorifies God. Yeshua summarized the intent of the law and the prophets in the following words: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Up to this point, we have focused on how to use our speech to fulfill the second great commandment, loving our neighbor with our tongue by speaking in a gracious and upbuilding manner. In this final chapter, we will turn our attention to the first great commandment and its implications for the way we speak. Our words are just as important in our relationship with God as they are in our relationships with one another. One of the Ten Commandments forbids speaking about God in an inappropriate manner. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. Just as our words can destroy human relationships, so our words can destroy our relationship with God. However, the converse also applies. Just as our words can build up and strengthen human relationships, so they can build up and strengthen our relationship with God and others' relationships with God. Ultimately, our tongues have the same purpose as every other part of our life and every portion of our resources: to help us love, serve, and glorify our Maker and Redeemer. This is the ultimate goal of every faithful Yeshua follower's life. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Messiah, would be to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 12. We succeed in living as followers of Yeshua to the extent that we succeed in living fully for the glory of God. There is no higher criterion of action, no loftier purpose or aspiration, no pursuit possessing greater value. Our call to live for the glory of God should shape every aspect of our life, including our speech. Scripture presents us with many ways in which we can glorify God with our speech. Let us single out five of the most important and examine each of them briefly. Our main source book will be the New Testament and the Book of Psalms. New heading: 1. Praising God. Praising God is the most direct form of giving Him glory. When we offer to God the praise of our lips, we are doing more than simply expressing our feelings toward Him. In essence, the meaning of our praise is captured best by the word offering. It is an objective gift or sacrifice, a pleasing aroma before God. Of course, God does not need our gift of praise any more than He needed the animal sacrifices in the temple. See Psalm 50, verses 10 through 13. Our praise is not given to inflate His ego or assuage His insecurity. Instead, we offer praise to God because He is infinitely worthy of praise. Praise is due to You, O God, in Zion. Psalm 65, verse 1, ESV. We owe God the praise of our lips because of the greatness of His wisdom, goodness, and power. The very fact that we are able to offer a gift to God and have it accepted is His gift to us. He did not have to give us anything, yet He bestowed on us the power of speech. It is only fitting that we use the gift of speech to glorify Him. He does not have to receive the gift. Like an ancient monarch, He has the right to show His displeasure with us by refusing to accept the offering. Yet God instead chooses to honor our small gifts of praise offered through Messiah Yeshua, taking pleasure in us as His children and showing us His favor. We read in Psalm 51, verse 15, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare Your praise. Our ability to praise God is thus tied directly to His work in opening our lips. Our ability to offer Him a gift of praise is part of His gift to us. The Psalms teach us many things about how we should praise God. According to the Psalms, the primary features of our praise should be joy and exuberance. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Psalm 33, verse 1 through 3. O clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises. Psalm 47, verse 1 and verses 5 through 6. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. All the earth will worship him and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 2 and verse 4. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 2. If we have tasted the goodness of God, then our lips will not stutter his praises, but will instead flow like the pen of a ready writer. Psalm 45, 1. The Lord our God is a great King, and he has lavished great favors upon us, his people. A living, personal knowledge of his truth must lead to some form of joyful, exuberant praise. The Psalms also show that our praise should not be sputtering and sporadic, but continual. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Psalm 63, verses 4 to 5. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 145, verses 1 to 2. As the fire on the altar of the temple and the flame in the lamp were to burn continually, so the praise and worship of God should well up within us continually. As the priests sacrificed burnt offerings on the altar every morning and every evening as a continual offering before God, so we should take special time each day to do nothing but offer God our sacrifice of praise. It is not enough to worship God one day a week. He is worthy of worship every day. It is not enough to serve him fervently for a few years and then fade off into sleepy distraction for a few more. God is worthy of devoted service every year of our life.